الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، This is a brief lecture and advice, including direction and guidance for the new Muslimah. For the new Muslimah, the new Muslim woman. First and foremost, we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanking Him for guiding us to Al-Islam and for opening our hearts to see the truth and to make it easy for us to accept that. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His grace and His mercy to make us steadfast upon His religion and to grant us all beneficial knowledge and righteous actions, and to accept from us our Islam, and to make our Islam good and beneficial. My noble sisters, may Allah bless you and increase you in good. No doubt you are going through a time in your life, a time of change, whenever you are moving from your previous religion and way of life to the religion of Al-Islam, which is the religion of truth, the religion of all of the prophets and messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, from the first of mankind, Adam, and likewise the first messenger, Noah, all the way to the last prophet and messenger, the prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. All of them, they were sent with the same message, that is to surrender to the Creator, to surrender to the Creator in submission and obedience, and to obey Him in public and in private, and to follow the message that He has revealed to the prophets and messengers throughout mankind. So this is a religion that is complete and perfect. The religion of Al-Islam is the religion of all of the prophets and messengers, and it is complete and perfect. All of them, they had the same creed. All of them, they had the same belief. Noah and Abraham and Moses and Jacob and Isaac and Ismail, Prophet Jesus, Prophet Muhammad, all of them, they had the same creed. Alayhim as-salatu was-salam. All of them, they were upon one religion. All of them, they were upon one belief and one creed, and that is to worship the Creator alone with no partners, to worship Allah, who is the Creator of creation and the provider and the sustainer of the creation. Allah, He is the true God who is worthy of worship. He is the one who is bringing the night and day in perfect alteration, in perfect harmony, and great benefit in this beautiful manner. Allah, He is the one who has created each one of us in the womb of a woman from a lowly fluid, whenever it's mixed with the fluid of a male and a female, creating the human being in stages from that fluid into a blood clot until there's flesh and then bones. And then by the decree of Allah, a soul is given to that body and to that flesh. And then a life is born. And then a life is born, and then that life comes out of the womb and grows by the permission of Allah. And even after that, we'll begin to smile and to laugh, and other times to cry and to be sad. It has emotions and ideas and thoughts, and is able to eventually speak and express itself. This is the creation of Allah. Allah, He is the Creator. So all of the prophets and messengers, they called the people to worship the Creator, to worship Allah, because He is the true God who's worthy of worship. And everything that's worshiped besides Him is falsehood and not worthy of worship. So this is the religion of truth. And this is the statement of truth. The statement of Al-Islam, Kalimatu Al-Islam, the statement of At-Tawheed, the statement of sincere and pure monotheism, that we believe that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And this is the meaning of La ilaha illallah, that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And this is what Jesus, He called to. This is what Prophet Isa alayhi salam, he called the people to. He called the people to worship Allah alone, and he did not call them to worship him. Rather, he called them to worship Allah alone and to submit and to surrender to the Creator in obedience and not the creation. This was the religion of Isa, of Jesus alayhi salam, and likewise before him, the religion of Moses, Musa alayhi salam, and also before him, the religion of Ibrahim, Abraham alayhi salam, and all of those prophets and messengers that were sent with guidance and revelation between them. They all called to the same creed and to the same belief that there is nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, meaning that everything that's worshiped besides Allah is falsehood and not worthy of worship, regardless of the status or the rank of that particular object, of that creation, even if it was a great angel, beloved to Allah, or even a prophet with great guidance and lofty manners and great status with Allah, like Jesus, for example, or Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Although these are great men, they're not worthy of worship because they're men, and Allah, he created them and sustained them and provided for them, and they used to fear Allah and they used to worship Allah, and this is what they called to. So to worship prophets is falsehood. To worship angels is falsehood, because it is Allah alone who creates the prophets and angels, and it is Allah alone who provides for them and sustains them. So if that's the case with the best of the creation, from the angels and the prophets and messengers, then they're not worthy of worship, then those who are lesser than them from mankind or from other objects like stones or trees or mountains or souls or jinns and the devils and the likes like this, or the wind or the fire or the sun or the stars or cows, or other than that from the things that individuals from mankind they worship, no doubt these things are clearly not worthy of worship likewise. So to worship them is falsehood. This is the call of all of the prophets and messengers, to worship Allah alone and to make all actions of devotion and servitude directed to Allah, directed to the Creator. He is the one who has the right to be worshipped in truth. This is the call of all of the prophets and messengers alayhi salatu wassalam. The Creator, his name is Allah. Allah, he is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. He has so many beautiful names and attributes, beautiful names indicating attributes that describe his greatness and his majesty, that he is the Creator, and that he is all-knowing and all-wise, and nothing happens in his creation except with his permission and according to his will and decree, and that which he decrees is good and not bad. And the good and the bad of this life is created for a wisdom and a test to try mankind, to test them, will they believe? Will they believe in their Creator and prepare for the meeting of Allah? Or will they disbelieve and turn away from obedience and follow their desires and whims? So the good in this life and the bad in this life is a wisdom and a test. So therefore, that which is decreed is from the perfect plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from his perfect wisdom to try and to test the people. So we're tried in this life and we're tested in this life. And from the mercy of Allah azza wa jal, he has sent the prophets and messengers. He has sent them to call them to Allah, to worship Allah, to call, to clarify the path and the methodology and the lifestyle that is pleasing to Allah, and that will be a means to earn the pleasure and the mercy and the grace of Allah, and likewise to warn mankind from the avenues and the pathways and the lifestyles that are displeasing to Allah. So the prophets and messengers, they were sent with guidance, they were sent with direction, and they were sent with a legislation, and this is the reality of this life. Our Creator who created us, he is great, and he is the most powerful, and he is the most strong, and he is the most kind, and he is the most merciful, and he is the most wise, and the all-knowing, and he likewise is the most severe in punishment. So Allah, he is the most kind and merciful for those who believe in him and follow his message and in believing in him and following his prophets and messengers, alayhimu salatu wassalam, and he is severe and punishment for those who disbelieve, or for those who believe yet do not establish their faith properly, and they live upon disobedience. So we're tested in this life, we're tried in this life, and there is guidance that has come all throughout history. Guidance has come at the hands of the prophets and messengers. We have mentioned a number of them previously. And every prophet and messenger throughout mankind was sent to his nation specifically. Noah was sent to his people specifically. And likewise, Abraham was sent to his people specifically, each one of them speaking in the language of their people. And likewise, Moses, he was sent to his people specifically. And Jesus as well was sent to his people specifically. What has been narrated about him in the Bible is that he was only sent to the lost sheep of the children of Israel. This is something that's even clarified in the Bible and well known. So it was not until the final messenger was sent that the message was encompassing and for all mankind. So the previous messengers, they were only sent to their people specifically. But at the coming of the final and the last messenger, the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is sent to all mankind. And likewise, those prophets before, they had revelation, and many of them, they had scripture and they had books. And in those scriptures and in those books was great guidance. Great guidance was revealed to those prophets. They had great guidance from Allah, clarifying the path of goodness, the path that leads to the pleasure of Allah, the path that is upright and noble, from the noble and good creed and the best and good and lofty manners and conduct, and the obligations that are upon mankind from their Lord, and likewise the affairs that are forbidden and prohibited. All of this has been clarified in those previous books that were revealed to the prophets and messengers. But from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after those messengers had passed or been raised, like Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, those followers of those particular prophets, some of them deviated and they distorted the scripture, hoping to find worldly gain. So those previous scriptures, like the Injil, the Gospel, and the Torah, the Old Testament, or the Law of Moses, so on and so forth, those scriptures were changed and they were distorted, and all of this was allowed by the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to test mankind, with the coming of the final prophet and the final messenger, the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his coming with the final revelation that is in the Arabic tongue. And this is the seal and the last of all revelation, and he is the seal and the last of all prophets sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is a prophet for all of mankind. He was sent to all of mankind, the Arab and the non-Arab, the white and the black, and everyone who believes in him from the time of his coming and follows him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dies upon death, and they will be from the people of paradise. And anyone who belies him after his coming and denies him and does not believe in him, then they are those who have disbelieved, and they are from the people of the hellfire if they die in that manner. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is the summary of the deen and the religion of al-Islam, rather the religion of all of the prophets and messengers. But after the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had clarified the religion in great detail. And the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he lived for 40 years before he received prophethood. And he was known for only truthfulness and honesty, and he was very trustworthy, and he was known to be from the most pure of his tribesmen, and he was never known to cheat or to deceive or to trick the people or even to lie, until his tribesmen have given him the nickname of Al-Amin, meaning the one who is trustworthy, and they used to trust him and rely upon him for many of their affairs because of his trustworthiness. And they would leave with him valuables as a deposit because they know that he would take care of them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he had never touched an idol nor ate any food that was slaughtered for idols. Rather, he only ate the food that was slaughtered in the name of Allah, even before he was a prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then at the age of 40, he received prophethood and messengership. An angel came to him and began revealing the Quran by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in stages. And he lived in Mecca for 13 years while the Quran is being revealed to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's teaching the people about the proper creed and proper belief, about the purity of intention and to make the religion purity for the sake of Allah, that Allah alone, he's the one who's worthy of worship, and to worship others besides Allah is falsehood. And then after 13 years, he migrated, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Al-Madinah, and he lived there for 10 years establishing the religion. And in this period, many of the laws and the legislations of Al-Islam were revealed, and the obligations were revealed, and the commandments and the prohibitions were revealed time after time in a very beautiful manner and stages, until the religion in the end of his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was completed. So in this period of his life as a prophet and messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is 23 years, 13 years in Mecca, and then 10 years in Al-Madinah. The point that I want to make for you, my noble sisters, may Allah bless you, is that in this period, his tribesmen, although they knew that he was truthful, many of them belied him and denied him, and eventually even fought him because they did not want to leave the ways of their forefathers. But at the same time, a number of people seen his truthfulness and believed in him and followed him. The majority of his tribesmen in the beginning, they opposed him and did not believe in him. Only a few followed him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he taught them, and he clarified to them the revelation that was revealed to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these individuals here who believed in him and followed him, they are known as as-sahaba. They are known as the companions, the noble companions. There are those who turned away from the ways of their people and the ways of falsehood and deviation in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and believed in him and followed him and helped him and aided him. And they witnessed the revelation. The revelation of the Quran came in stages in this period of 23 years, some of it in Mecca, and the completion came in the years in Al-Madinah. And this is also from the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal, that the legislation and the law was not made obligatory all at once. Rather, it was made obligatory in stages, little by little. And the obligations and the prohibitions became established upon the believers in beautiful steps and stages until the religion was complete. So those companions, radiyallahu anhum, those who witnessed this event, they witnessed the revelation, they witnessed the legislation being revealed, and they implemented and they complied to the command of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and followed him and defended him with their lives, defended him with their property and their wealth and their lives and all that they had, radiyallahu anhum. And in the end of his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had carried this religion on after him as he had ordered them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, conveying the message to those after him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then in the next generation, they continued to convey the message. The companions, they carried on the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to those after him. And then likewise, at this time, Islam began to have great acceptance to the lands, and there was a great empire that was established. And at this time, likewise, many of the people throughout those different lands, they accepted Islam willingly and became themselves from the best of the Muslims. And they're mentioned until this day. They themselves, their lands were conquered, and they accepted Al-Islam, and now they become from the best of the Muslims in the history. And when we look into the history books of Al-Islam, many of them, they are those who accepted Islam later, and then they learned and carried this religion on after them. But this conquest and the spread of this religion met many challenges, and from that is that there were individuals who were not able to oppose the Muslims and to stop that conquest because of the great armies that they had, and because of the great efforts that they're making, and because they had great victory and strength and help from Allah Azza wa Jal. So individuals that did not like or want to accept that Islam, they were not able to oppose the Muslim front, so therefore they began to try to corrupt the religion from inside. And this was from the early days in Al-Islam. They began to try to corrupt Al-Islam from inside, and they began to introduce misguided ideologies and misguided beliefs and the likes like this. And the point to clarify, may Allah bless you, is that this is continuing until this day. And to see now, the issue has become very sad. And many people ascribe to Al-Islam, yet their Islam is very weak and deficient. And their Islam is not even close. It's very far from that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he was upon, and that which he taught his companions. So now the wisdom from this brief reminder here is to realize that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his prophecy, is that he mentioned that after him, his nation, his followers, was split into many different sects, 73 different groups and sects. And he said that all of them are misguided, except for those who follow what he is upon and his companions. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum. So this is indeed a great benefit, especially if we have this in the beginning of our Islam, to realize. Because if we look around, especially if we were to look on the internet and the likes about Al-Islam, we'll find that there is much differing and there are much differences. And we find that some Muslims, they're doing this and other Muslims are doing that. For example, maybe we will find that in some lands there are Muslims blowing themselves up, and there are Muslims who are killing people in airports, for example. And all of this is falsehood and not from the way of Prophet Muhammad. And they're shedding blood of innocent individuals. And at the same time, they're saying Allahu Akbar, and they're claiming that they're doing this in the name of Al-Islam, in defense of the religion. But the people of knowledge of this religion have clarified that those individuals are really fighting in the path of the devil, waliyadu billah. Others, we will look and we will see that they're not on that extreme. Rather, they're on another extreme, and they're dancing in the houses of Allah, in the masjid. You'll find them dancing and playing instruments and moving their heads left and right and saying words that cannot even be understood hardly. And ho, 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 woo, woo, woo. Like, very strange. Like, subhanAllah, what is this? And you look at them, they're claiming that they're Muslims, and they're claiming that this is from Islam, and this is good and pleasing to Allah, and this is all falsehood likewise. So there are extremes. The misguidance has entered into the ummah. So you have been guided to Al-Islam, may Allah bless you, but this is a general type of guidance. Now you are in need of detailed guidance. Detailed guidance on the straight path. Being guided to the straight path, being guided to Al-Islam, is one thing. But now, in order for you to be steadfast, in order for you to truly benefit from this guidance, you need detailed guidance. Detailed guidance that you are able to identify by way of the truth and the falsehood. Detailed guidance, which is knowledge, which is a criterion for you, so that you can distinguish between that which is good and that which is really Islam, and between that which is falsehood and that which is ascribed to Islam improperly and is in reality an innovation and free from Al-Islam. Because this is the way that we're facing today. So many people claiming Islam, and they have different sects and different ideologies and different methodologies and different ways, and they all claim Al-Islam. And even some of them, they claim the Sunnah likewise. And they may have beautiful names or slogans. On face value, without knowledge, maybe someone will think that it's good, but it's not good. And the way to determine that is by having knowledge. So the true Islam and the pure religion that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the religion that he taught his companions, and the religion that they witnessed the revelation of, and that they implemented in their lives. They're the ones who believed in him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and defended him and followed him, and defended him and followed him, and they're the ones who carried on their religion after him. So they witnessed the revelation, they applied the obligations, they implemented the commandments, they fought against their souls and avoided the prohibitions as they were revealed. So therefore, the understanding that they have of this religion is the proper understanding, because they learned it directly from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. So this is very clear that no doubt they have the proper understanding, and they carried that understanding on to those after them. And it was for three generations that this proper message was preserved. And after that, the deviation had entered and the Ummah had divided. And the Ummah, meaning the nation of believers, had began to divide. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prophesied all of this. But also from his prophecy, also from that which he had mentioned that will occur after his death, along with this division, there will always remain a group from his Ummah who are victorious and who are apparent and upright, holding fast to the truth. Holding fast to the truth. Holding fast to that which he was upon and his companions. That which he was upon and his companions. So when it comes to issues of creed, specifically, creed, we call it aqidah, creed and belief, what we believe in. Our creed and our belief, in order for it to be true, in order for it to be pure, it has to be in accordance to their creed. And any creed or belief that's contrary to their creed is falsehood. And this is how we can identify this from a very simple and easy manner, alhamdulillah. They're the ones who learned the creed from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The creed was revealed to him. And he taught it to his companions. And they believed in that, followed that, and implemented what that creed requires and necessitates. So therefore, their creed is the pure creed and the good creed. And it was not until after them that the creed had been changed and the creed had been deviated, little by little and time after time. So to identify who has the proper creed, we refer back to the creed of the Sahaba, the creed of the companions, and then likewise their students after them, called the tabi'een, the followers of the companions, and then one more generation, the atba' tabi'een, the followers of the followers of the companions. And there are many narrations authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam whenever he praised these generations. And he mentioned that the best of mankind are his generation, and then those who follow them, and then those who follow them. So these three generations here, the generation of the companions and their students, and then their students, these are the ones who carried and preserved the religion of al-Islam properly. And if we want to understand the true Islam, we have to refer back to their understanding. We have to refer back to their religion and their deen. Because it is Allah who had chosen them to carry this and to bear this. So if we look around and we see Muslims spinning around in the masjid, dancing and the likes in the masjid, or beating on drums, or doing this or doing that, or having birthday parties, for example, or having a birthday party for Prophet Muhammad, how can we know if is that true? Is that really Islam? Dancing around, is this something Prophet Muhammad did? Dancing around, is this something the companions did? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiyallahu anhum. We have to really verify. So if we look back into that which was transmitted to us in the narrations, we'll find that there was no birthday in the time of the Prophet. There's no birthday in the companions that didn't do that. So therefore we find out now that this birthday is something that's an innovation. This is just an example. The point is now, because innovations are many, and if you're not careful, you can be misled, my noble sister. So to have the proper understanding, you must understand al-Islam according to the understanding of the companions. Because they're the ones who learned from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam directly. We'll never be able to know what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was upon, or what he called to, or what he did, or what he said, except by way of those noble companions. So they're the ones who transmitted that to us. And they're the ones who witnessed that and implemented that and carried it on after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is a very important point, a pinnacle point to understand how to properly understand al-Islam. How to properly understand al-Islam. It's because there's many different sects. We have Sufiya, we have Shia, we have Mu'tazila, we have Qadariya, we have Murji'a. There's many, we have Qadaniyya, we have Qadariya, we have so many different groups and sects that claim al-Islam. We have Ikhwan Muslimun, we have Tablighiyya, Jama'at al-Tabligh. All these different sects, these different groups, these different ways, Naqshbandiyya, and Diobandiya, so many different ways. But now we want to follow the truth. We want to follow Islam. We want to follow what Prophet, I believe, we believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we want to follow him. So which one is really following him? Which one is really following him? How are we able to identify this? Is blowing yourself up from Islam? No, it's not from Islam. How can we identify that? We look into the way of those companions. They were not doing this. They were not calling to this. They did not understand these texts in that manner. Dancing in the masjid, singing around, mixing together. Was this something from out Islam? We look back to those noble companions. This is not how they understood the likes of these texts. So therefore, it can't be from out Islam. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's the one that received the revelation, and he is the one who clarified al-Islam, and his companions are those who accepted al-Islam and followed that and conveyed it to those after them. So anything that is in accordance to what they were upon, this is good. This is truly al-Islam, and this is the way to identify. And anything that is not in accordance to what they were upon is not al-Islam. It's not al-Islam. It cannot be al-Islam. How could it be al-Islam and they did not know about it, or that it's contrary to their belief? So therefore, the proper Islam is to believe in the Quran and to believe in the Sunnah and the understanding of the pious and the righteous predecessors. So the Quran is the book of Allah. It's the book of Allah. It's the revelation and the words of Allah. And the Sunnah is the law and legal ways of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is likewise revelation. And the Sunnah is the detailed clarification of how to apply the Quran. Because Allah, He mentioned in the Quran, for example, that you have to establish the Salah. You have to pray. You have to establish the Salah. But it doesn't mention how to establish it, what to recite, and how to stand, and the requirements and conditions for the Salah to be correct. All of that was entrusted to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to clarify the details of that. And that clarification is known as As-Sunnah, is known as As-Sunnah. So in order to truly understand the Quran, we have to likewise know the life and the biography and the legal ways of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because the Quran was revealed to him and he clarified and showed us how to apply the Quran and follow it. And then likewise, this is not complete for those after him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, except by understanding these affairs according to the way those who witnessed that revelation and believed in it in the first days. So those who believed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the first days, they were the companions. And then likewise, those students of the companions and then the students after them, these generations here, they were upon the correct al-Islam. And these generations here, they're known as as-Salaf as-Salih, the pious and the righteous predecessors. So their Islam is the proper Islam. Their understanding of Islam is the proper Islam. Their implementation of Islam is the proper Islam. Anybody who claims to have a creed or a deed or an action of worship or some law or the likes like this, obligations, prohibitions afterwards, that's not in accordance to what they were upon, not in accordance to what they had clarified after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it's not from Islam. It's not from Islam. This is a very great and beneficial point. And if we look around, we will find that this is the place where the majority of the Muslims have deviated. And this is why they are in deviation, because they are following desires or following whims or newly introduced ideas and concepts in al-Islam that is in reality foreign to al-Islam. That is in reality foreign to al-Islam. So this is what I wanted to mention and advise for my noble sisters in the beginning. And after this, briefly, just some more direction and guidance, and that is to emphasize the issue of learning. That al-Islam is a religion of knowledge, and knowledge is light, and knowledge is heavy, likewise, and it requires effort. And it requires diligence, and it requires for a believer to be sincere and truthful and to believe in this knowledge. This knowledge is revelation. So we have to have diligence to learn. We have to have diligence to learn. The more diligent we are and the more time we make for learning, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, if we're sincere and truthful, the more our life will change and the more our Islam will become strong and the more Allah will help us. And the more our soul will become pure. Right now, my noble sisters, for you who are new in al-Islam, your souls are pure. Whenever a person accepts Islam, this is a means to erase and to excuse and to pardon all sins. The one who accepts that Islam truthfully, then all of their sins are forgiven and they are as if the day they were born with absolutely no sin. So therefore, those new sisters, may Allah bless you, your souls are pure. Allahu Akbar, your souls are pure. But if you are not careful, your souls can become tainted and they can become stained. And this is not good for a person. And whenever the soul is pure and the heart is good, a person is able to see and identify the truth clearly. And is able to likewise follow it properly. And also able to see and to identify falsehood very easily. And to avoid it and stay away from it. Following the good is beneficial and good, and falling into falsehood is very bad and dangerous. Very bad and dangerous. So the one who has a pure heart and the one who has a clean soul, then Allah will guide that person and they will see the truth and be given success to follow it. And they will see the evil and be given success to avoid and stay away from it. But as for the one who turns away from the guidance, and taints their souls with sins and their hearts become corrupted, then this will be a means for them to not be able to see the truth and to not be able to follow it, and likewise a means for them to turn and have an inclination to falsehood and then begin to prefer that. And this is something that is a great trial. So now the soul is pure and now the heart is good. So now you have to work to keep that purity. And this is by learning. This is by learning, learning the law of Allah, learning the legislation of Allah, learning the deen, learning the religion, learning the commandments, and learning the prohibitions, beginning with the greatest commandment, and that is the commandment of it, Tawheed. How to make your faith and your creed and your belief and all of your actions of worship and to direct your heart entirely and sincere devotion to Allah alone, with trust and reliance. And with love and hope and fear. This is the greatest obligation. And to also know the greatest prohibition, which is to direct any of that worship to other than Allah in any manner. And likewise, the perfection of that is learning the commandments and the obligations that one must perform in one day and one night. And likewise, learning those prohibitions that one must avoid and stay away from. Whenever we come into Al-Islam, especially from America here, we have many traits or many things that are accepted in the society that are contrary to Al-Islam, and they're not good. Not everything that we were upon before Al-Islam is not good. Some of the things that we were upon in our conduct or our manners, maybe some of that is wholesome and good and allowed in Al-Islam. Alhamdulillah, these characteristics and traits, these actions and the likes, we keep them. But as for that which we learn now about Al-Islam that's contrary to what we were upon before, or what our forefathers were upon before, or our parents or mothers or our society, what they deemed to be good, then we leave that for the sake of Allah. And this is a trial and test for us. But if we're truthful and sincere and we work against our souls and the obedience of Allah upon true belief, then Allah, He will help us. And Allah, He will guide us. And Allah, He will make that path easy. So whenever we come to this path, now at this time, there are challenges. And the head of those challenges is to learn and to know. And to the head of dealing with those challenges is having knowledge and light. So it's very important for you, my noble sisters, to learn the correct knowledge, to learn the correct religion, and to take knowledge from the proper sources, and to be careful whom you learn from. Because many times the knowledge that is spread on the internet and the likes like this, or even in some of the masajid, this is not the proper knowledge. As we have seen, the ummah has divided. So those who are following the correct path and the way of the Salaf al-Salih, there are few. So we will look for them and find them and find their gatherings and benefit from them and hold fast to them and learning from them. There are so many advices that I would like to mention for you, my noble sisters, but the time does not permit. From that, the importance of learning the purification and also beginning to pray. So from the greatest obligations after the obligation of the creed is the salah. And from the greatest means for you to taste the sweetness of your faith and the beauty of Islam, the religion that you have embraced now, is learning how to pray. Learning how to pray and then establishing the prayer in the proper manner and in the proper times, 5 times a day. This issue here will be from the greatest steps that will change your life. From the greatest steps that will change your life is learning how to pray properly and then praying in the proper time. Praying in the proper time. I myself, when I accepted Islam in the beginning, I did not initially learn how to pray. And it was not for some time until I learned how to pray. Even later, it was not for some time until the prayer was implemented in my life. And this was from the wisdom of Allah. And maybe now Allah knows best so that I can share this with you. And it was not until after I began to pray 5 times a day that I tasted the sweetness of faith, that I became truly a Muslim and my life changed. And my life changed. My life changed in such a great manner. So much good came to my life after that. So my noble sister, you likewise, you're a new Muslim now. So from the most important affairs after learning the creed, and along with that is learning how to pray. Do not neglect the prayer. Do not say, I'll learn how to pray later. Do not say, I don't have anybody who will teach me. No, these sisters here in Masjid Tawheed, they will teach you. But you have to come to the classes. You have to call them or text them. You have to tell them, I'm free on this day. I'm free on that day. Can you please teach me how to pray? You have to have the desire in your heart. You have to want to learn. So from those most important things, may Allah bless you, is to learn how to pray and the requirements for prayer. And the requirements for prayer, and then to establish that prayer properly in the correct manner. Likewise, there are rights as well that are specific to the woman, like the knowledge of dealing with menses, and likewise the knowledge of how to cover yourself properly when you come out of your home, and so on and so forth, and knowledge of who you can deal with and who you cannot deal with. Mixing is not pleasing to Allah, and it's a means that leads to great fitna, trials and tribulations in the society. So all of these are affairs that you have to learn that are specific to you. So may Allah bless you. You have to just be diligent in learning. And whatever you learn about al-Islam, you have to be diligent to apply it. So if you learn something today, you apply it today. If you learn something tomorrow, you apply it in that manner. Every time you learn something, you apply it. You don't learn something and then put it behind your back. No, whatever you learn, you apply it. Believing in Allah and believing in the last day and hoping for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that, we close. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.